This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. In a moment, we'll explore the new romantic comedy Always Be My Maybe with its director and co-star. First, let's focus on severe weather. We've been dealing with tornadoes in the Midwest, and now it's hurricane season from the beginning of June through the end of November. The National Hurricane Center says it is mostly confident that we'll see normal activity in the Atlantic and above normal activity in the Pacific. Last year, the Atlantic was also predicted to be near or above normal, and it gave us two devastating hurricanes, Florence and Michael. How should we prepare for what's to come, and how are forecasters helping us prepare? Joining us on the line is Jerry Bell, a hurricane climate specialist and lead forecaster for Hurricane Outlook at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, better known as NOAA. Jerry, welcome to 1A.
It's a pleasure to be here.
We are speaking to Jerry just for this first part of the program, so we welcome your questions about hurricane season right away. Email 1A at WAMU.org, comment on our Facebook page, or tweet us at 1A. So, the forecast, Jerry, is for a near-normal hurricane season. What does near-normal mean?
That's correct. We're thinking a near-normal season is most likely this year. That means a lot of activity. Overall, we expect 9 to 15 named storms, of which we think 4 to 8 will become hurricanes, and 2 to 4 of those will become major hurricanes. So those ranges are all centered on the longer-term averages. So that's why we think it's a near-normal season, most likely. But make no mistake, that's still a lot of activity.
Let's break down those criteria a little bit. Named storms, what's the distinguishing characteristic or characteristics of a named storm compared to just your run-of-the-mill thunderstorm?
Well, a named storm is a storm that is a rotating tropical storm with wind speeds of at least 40 miles an hour. And prior to that, we see these systems coming off of Africa. They're cloud systems. They start to rotate. As they strengthen, eventually they become strong enough where we say it's a named storm. As they continue to strengthen, they become hurricanes, and some of those strengthen further to become major hurricanes.
And what's our threshold for a major hurricane?
A major hurricane threshold is 111 miles an hour, and that would be categories 3, 4, and 5 on the hurricane scale.
And we're talking 111 miles per hour sustained winds, right? Not occasional gusts of 111 or higher.
That's correct. These are maximum sustained surface wind speeds.
Now, to be clear, the forecast for hurricane season only forecasts the number of storms that may exist, not their likelihood of hitting anything, right?
That's correct. The outlook is for the overall activity for the entire season. It is not a landfall forecast, and it's not a prediction of whether any particular locality could get struck by a hurricane. And the reason is that where a hurricane tracks, how strong it gets, where exactly it makes landfall, all of that depends on the weather patterns that are in place at the time the storm is approaching. And you just simply cannot predict those conditions as far in advance.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, the Hurricane Center says that it has about a 70% or so confidence in this year's forecast. What are some of the factors behind that level of confidence?
Yeah, all the ranges that we give for named storms, hurricanes, and major hurricanes are issued with a 70% likelihood of occurring. So that's the confidence range for each of those ranges. Right now, and through the season, there's competing factors, and we expect those competing factors to help to moderate the overall seasonal activity. One of those factors is El Nino, which is a Pacific climate pattern that acts to weaken the hurricane season. Now, in contrast, we've been in a high activity period for Atlantic hurricanes since 1995, and the conditions that have been producing more hurricanes since 1995 are still in place. So right now, we've got these competing factors, which is why we think a near-normal season is most likely.
And does climate change, the warming of the oceans, does that factor into the increasing likelihood of certain storms?
The main factor that the main climate factor that produces decadal changes in hurricane activity, it's a fancy name. It's called the Atlantic Multi-Decadal Oscillation. It's a naturally occurring climate pattern. We had the same phase that we have now back in the 1950s and 60s. We saw a lot of activity during 1971 to 94. The activity was really suppressed. And since 1995, we've been seeing a lot of activity again. So that Atlantic multi-decadal pattern is really the dominant pattern causing these decade-to-decade changes in hurricanes.
How is that being affected by warming ocean temperatures?
It produces warmer waters. The phase that we're in now produces a warmer Atlantic, much more conducive wind patterns coming off of Africa that allow more hurricanes to form. How that pattern may change or alter in the future, looking way down the road from a global warming scenario, that's still an area of a lot of investigation, and it's a very important issue, but we really don't have answers to how these naturally occurring climate patterns may or may not be affected by a global warming scenario.
We're speaking to Jerry Bell of NOAA about this year's hurricane season forecast. Many families in Florida and up and down the Carolinas are still dealing with last hurricane season, particularly Hurricane Michael, which was a Category 5 storm that hit last October. NPR's Ari Shapiro recently reported about families who are still living in a kind of makeshift tent community that's set up in a neighbor's backyard. Here's part of his reporting on All Things Considered.
Hurricane Michael came ashore in October. It was one of the strongest storms ever to make landfall in the continental U.S., a Category 5. I went to the Florida Panhandle to look at what still needs to be done to make these communities ready for the next round of hurricanes. One of the biggest challenges is that thousands of people still have nowhere to live.
Describe what we're looking at here.
A multitude of tents, people trying to salvage whatever they have left. I mean, I don't know. Really, how do you explain it? To me, it's my backyard, but it's home to many.
Shelly Summers lives north of Panama City on 5 acres with her husband and 7-year-old daughter and a bunch of people in her yard. This used to be a forest, but Hurricane Michael knocked down all the trees last October.
Now we're just walking in what looks to me like the Sahara Desert.
About 18 people live here with no place else to go.
That's NPR's Ari Shapiro reporting on All Things Considered about the lingering damage from Hurricane Michael in Florida. Jerry, what would you say to those folks who are still dealing with damage in terms of how they should be preparing this year?
People need to prepare for every hurricane season, regardless of the hurricane season outlook. Because as we saw last year, you know, it only takes one storm to cause tremendous, long-lasting damage. And it's not just people along the immediate coast, which is more of what we saw with Major Hurricane Michael last year, but people well inland can be impacted as well. In fact, 80 million people are considered to live in areas that can be impacted by hurricanes. Another storm last year was Hurricane Florence that produced tremendous flooding in the Carolinas. So there we're seeing, between those two storms last year, we really saw a multitude of impacts that you can see from one hurricane to the next. So your preparedness plans really need to reflect your personal situation and the storm conditions you might expect. Maybe it's storm surge, maybe it's inland flooding, maybe it's downed trees and power lines. But make no mistake, hurricanes will strike, and you need to be prepared every hurricane season, because as we see time and time again, it only takes one.
I think it may surprise some folks to know that the majority of people who die from hurricanes don't die during them. They die after them. Storm surge is one of the big factors. First of all, we hear that term used a lot. What exactly is storm surge? What do we mean by that?
The storm surge is basically the ocean coming on land. With a hurricane and the strong winds, it builds up the ocean, and then that ocean, once it gets high enough, it's coming on shore. Storm surges destroy everything. Nothing survives a storm surge. And that's why hurricane preparedness is so key. If you live in a coastal area and you're asked to evacuate, you need to do so because you don't survive storm surge. And as we heard the another person just mention, all the trees are gone, everything. So you really need to be prepared. And inland flooding is now a major cause of death from hurricanes, but it's in part because people do evacuate and along the coast. And last year, just to highlight with Michael, the importance of preparedness, Michael developed in the deep Gulf of Mexico and within 2 days was making landfall as a Category 5 hurricane in Florida. sometimes you don't get much notice for these storms, especially rapid developing storms. And if you're not prepared to evacuate, boy, you can be in a lot of trouble.
And I understand that the Hurricane Center is adding storm surge watches and warnings to include Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands this year. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. And being able to predict how far inland these high waters can come is really, really important, because that helps to establish who needs to evacuate and how far inland people would need to evacuate.
And I was just going to ask you about that evacuation. When we say evacuate inland, are we talking about driving hundreds of miles through states? I mean, what is it exactly that people should be prepared to do?
Well, a lot of times, it's just maybe getting to higher ground 10, even 20 miles away. I'm being kind of vague on this because it really depends on where you live. If you're in a very flat coastal area where a storm surge could extend 10, 20 miles in, obviously you may need to evacuate further. That's one of the things. Talk to your local emergency officials and find out if you're in an evacuation zone, so that and what to do. You know, there's some great websites.
Yeah.
FEMA.gov and hurricanes.gov. These are excellent. They really walk you through things you need to do,
right,
to prepare so that you're ready. And boy, you know, it's really worth your effort to be prepared. It just is.
Jerry, I have one or two more questions for you. If you would stick around for just one second, I want to finish up with Jerry Bell of NOAA. I'm Joshua Johnson. You're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR. This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson. We're talking hurricane season with Jerry Bell of NOAA. Jerry, before we let you go, I did want to ask you about some of the new technology that the Hurricane Center and NOAA are using to track the storms, particularly because we've gotten a few questions from listeners about it. Julie asked if you can address 5G interference with weather forecasting equipment. Just talk about where the technology sits right now.
Well, unfortunately, I'm not an expert on technology types of issues related to the 5G issue. I know I've heard no administration saying that they welcome the use of that 5G network. They're trying to figure out how industry can use the 5G network yet not impact the tremendous amounts of data that are required in order to make weather forecasts every day.
And one last thing before I let you go, for people who have not prepared for hurricane season, or for the people who think, oh, it couldn't possibly happen to me, what is the one thing that you wish more people would do, even if they only do one thing, to get ready for hurricane season?
Well, what I hope people do is start thinking about their preparedness plan so that you are ready in case a storm threatens. And it's not a complicated thing. It's relatively simple. If a storm threatens and you're going to be without power for several days, make sure you've got water, food, batteries, flashlights in a dry area so that you can, so that you're ready. If you're in an evacuation zone, make sure you have a kit with things like, or a list with your medications, things for kids and pets, cash, important documents, some change of clothing, hygiene items, things like that. Because, as we saw with Michael, you're without power for a lot of days.
Right.
And we see this a lot. Or you may be in an area that's flooded and the floodwaters you're flooded out for 2 weeks. You really need to think about the different ways that you can be impacted by a hurricane and then prepare your hurricane plans accordingly.
A great website with lots of resources for all kinds of disasters is ready.gov. For hurricanes, wildfires, earthquakes, all kinds of natural disasters, ready.gov. Jerry Bell is a hurricane climate specialist and lead forecaster for Hurricane Outlook at NOAA. Jerry, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you, Josh.